Hey, this is John Rothstein, the host of Inside College Basketball Now, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, reminding you that our show is going to ramp up over the next 2 months. That's because we're counting down to Selection Sunday and March Madness. We will be coming to you each and every week with multiple episodes featuring exclusive interviews with the biggest and best names in the sport. It's the all-you-can-eat buffet for college basketball junkies everywhere.
Follow and listen to Inside College Basketball Now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
There is absolutely nothing boring about today. 0-0-0. I am here at JetBlue Park. I'm Rob Bradford. This is the Baseball Isn't Boring Show, and I will be the first to push Team USA, not the WBC team, but the hockey team, over the finish line by yelling the only thing that will push them over the finish line, and that is McFarland. McFarland, Tommy behind the glass.
McFarland, Bradfell.
Oh, that's a head cook. Come on. You have to dig deep. Let's go.
I matched your McFarland.
No, I can do it any way I want. Yell McFarland.
McFarland!
Oh, I see. He's got a little bit of a cold. All right, Gordo, Sammy, play Tessie. Gordo, how are you?
What's up, Bradfo? McFarland!
All right, Sammy.
Bradfo Team USA loves McFarland!
That is so true. Oh, what a day it is. I sprung out of bed a little behind the scenes. I did not run out of gas at 5:45 a.m., but I sprung out of bed at about midnight after I forgot to take melatonin. But I did take melatonin right in the middle of the night, which got me to about 7:30, woke up, sprung out of bed, went to the Red Sox clubhouse, talked to people, observed people walking in and out of the clubhouse, taking ground balls. Then we talked to Alex Cora. Alex Cora is saying, well, this lineup that you're rolling out against the Canadians, I mean, it's no coincidence, by the way, Red Sox versus Toronto Blue Jays, Team USA versus Team Canada. This lineup might be your opening day lineup. So there's a little bit of news. It's a lot of stuff happening. It's great. By the way, if anybody wants to just wear baseballs and boring stuff with pride, the Baseball Isn't Boring store is now active at bbisn'tboring.com, bbisn'tboring.com. And also, the Play Tessie guys are jumping on into the Baseball Isn't Boring family as well. We're all under one big umbrella. It is the most powerful entity maybe in the entire world of baseball, and this is part of it right here, right now. Where would you rather be? Where would you rather be than on the precipice of another great miracle? And that may be a hockey game, but more likely it's going to be a radio show that is executed perfectly for 3 hours. Where would you rather be, fellas?
I'd rather be in Florida.
Yeah, that's a very unfair question to ask right now. With a storm coming, we've got another nor'easter coming. And
I don't
asking
care.
Where we'd rather be? Florida.
So we're going to get to my play-by-play call in a little bit because, you know, it's hard. It's funny. It's like Daniel Nava hitting a grand slam on your first pitch. I think the two are side-by-side. You would agree, right? Correct?
The Monasterio home run,
Andrew Monasterio home run call.
I mean, that's going to be replayed for the next 50 years or so yes.
Well, who do I run into in the clubhouse this morning right away but Andrew Monasterio? And I'm trying to explain to them the whole sequence of events. And in case people missed it, yesterday was my first time doing play-by-play. I've done millions and millions and millions of spring training games. But yesterday, sitting alongside Hall of Famer Joe, I get a chance to do play-by-play for three innings. And the first batter I had was basically a home run, Andrew Monasterio. And I said to Andrew Monasterio, when I saw him this morning, I made his day. I said, we will forever be linked. We will forever be linked. Monasterio and Bradfo, right?
Rob. Correct? Rob, whichever one of you guys goes into the Hall of Fame first, the other one's got to be in the speech.
Well, that is facts. And also, by the way, whatever lucky kid dove on that ball on the berm out in left field, that's worth a lot of money. I'm going to be willing. Listen, I will trade some Baseball Isn't Boring gear for that home run ball. If you're listening, person, if you have that ball, I will trade you some gear. I will give you some stickers. We have new hats. We have new t-shirts. I will give you stuff for that ball. I want that ball.
For all right? The Andrew Monasterio home run ball. How many t-shirts will that cost?
Rob, I was going to say, what's your max offer here?
My max offer, which I'm going to be, you know, as I said, bbisn'tboring.com to check all this out. I will give them the newly minted signature hat for Baseball Isn't Boring, otherwise known as the Joe. You guys have seen the hat, right? Correct?
Oh, yeah.
All the kids love it. The kids love it because the letters are backwards. I will give them that one hat and maybe two stickers and maybe a T-shirt that says baseball's in boring A. Like, A? A? The Canadian version. So I do want to track down that ball. I wasn't able to jump out of the booth and run down and get it, find the person. But if they're listening, if you're listening, people, and you got the Andrew Monasterio home run ball, contact us. Contact Tommy behind the glass, Tommy the producer, Tommy who's going to be with us for the whole – we thought it was going to be Zacho. I guess it's going to be Tommy the rest of the way.
Like, so, the whole season we got Tommy behind the glass?
Yeah, but Zacho is always welcome just for the mere fact that we now have a guy with a cool nickname, Zacho. His name is Zach Coe, but we're going to call him Zacho, the Zacho shoe. So Zacho is at the ready to sub in, but for the time being, for the rest of the season, we are honored to have our good friend Tom. Tom, I know that you've been called College Tom. I know you'd be called Real World Tom. I want you, as part of this family, Tom, part of this Baseball Isn't Boring family, I want you to designate what you want to be called.
Ooh.
So that's, like, super tough because everybody in college, like, my nickname in college was TC, but there's a very well-known TC in the area, so that's not going to work.
Yeah,
I don't think you can do TC.
Good self-awareness, though.
Yeah, I'm well aware. I don't hate real life, Tom. Greg Hill will just yell RLT at me, and it's stuck on. My mom will call me it sometimes. My dad will. Okay. The guy at my gym calls me real life, so I don't hate that. But at Bradfo, you know, the idea guy, if you come up with something good, I don't like Tommy. I got to be honest. I don't like Tommy. I have a friend, Tommy. A girl in high school used to call me Tommy. That stings still. So Tommy's a little bit out for me, Bradfo.
Okay. Well, I think this is the great thing. What our audience is very good at is designating walk-in music and also nicknames for our producers. The two things that we rely on, science and science being all our listeners. We appreciate everybody. And by the way, 617-779-7937 for everybody who wants to call in, join the conversation. Usually we basically define this last week, Gordo, right? Where Jeff from Watertown, who always leads us off, he is cleansing his soul at this time, which we applaud. We said that's okay, as long as at some point before the show ends, Jeff from Watertown calls. So instead of being the T-shirt gun and launching us into the show, he is going to be the punctuation mark for what is going to be another perfect game of a show. Is that good, guys?
Yeah, he basically went from the leadoff hitter to the closer.
Yeah. Oh, very well put.
Rafa, what is cleansing his soul mean?
He's going to church.
Oh.
Yeah, he's going to church.
Right over my head.
Yeah, for some, like, this is the church.
The
Church of Baseball's and Boring. And you can go to real church later or before, whatever you want. I just know this, is that I am just so honored, so privileged to be here. I'm at JetBlue Park. You guys are at the Baseball's and Boring Studios back in Brighton. And I'm not saying this just because it's sunny and it's warm and I don't have to worry about getting a flight to and fro. I'm not saying any of that. I'm just saying because the great game of baseball is about to be played here in a few hours. Will Fleming and Joe Castiglione, Joe Castiglione on the call, Hall of Fame Joe. They're going to be on the call as the Blue Jays come to down. The return of Connor Siebold, he's coming in to pitch today.
Oh.
Yeah, that's breaking news.
Whoa.
I want to try to give you some, because one of the things that I am able to do is I'm able to bob and weave my way through the clubhouse and through talking to guys and just giving nicks and knacks of information, giving you boots in the ground sort of vibe talk as we get ready for the big Blue Jays Red Sox game. And I know that the Blue Jays are playing. I should take a picture of this. At JetBlue Park right now, it's empty. There's nobody out. They'll be coming out and do drills, I'm sure, in an hour or so. The two flags are flying today. You don't usually see that, but they got the Canadian and American flag flying side by side. Really, as this game is going on, there's a lot of symbolism. There's a lot of symbolism happening today. So I just wanted to set the scene for
you. The Red Sox team is almost 100% watching this USA-Canada game right now.
We were in the clubhouse earlier. There is one player who walked in with a USA hockey jersey, which I'm sure by the end of camp I'll know who he is.
They got to have the game on. They're not watching
Well, they have the game on. Yeah. No, they have the game on. But I don't – Yeah, yeah. I mean, they have the game on, but you have to also understand, like, this is a time they're out working out. Like, this isn't, like, the lounging time. The lounging time is before the game, like, 12, maybe leading into 1. But as I said, I think the news of today, you know, we started with Cora in the morning, and he's talking about Brian Bello and his changeup. Fine, super, great. He's going to throw more changeup. He's going to – he did have a good analogy about how he talked to Carlos Beltran when he was young about how you, as a young player, you sort of get away from your bread and butter because you want to learn all these other things, and that's what happened to Bello. So that'll be interesting because he's pitching today. But really, I think, guys, the takeaway was – that you had this the lineup today, and yes, lineup's out. Let's see the lineup here. But he insinuated this was going to be a semblance of the opening day lineup, with one exception, probably second base, right? So I'm going to read it, and then I want you guys' reaction. And I, by the way, I just got a text from our dream maker. He will be also popping in here at 10:30. As well as he now has done for two straight weeks, and that's Brian Abraham.
Let's go.
So get your questions ready. You always make news when he comes in. What was the news you made, Gordo, last week?
We had a couple. I mean, he had Tolley's new two seamer, and what was the other one? We asked him who stuck out, and he gave us five good names of prospects that have stuck out.
Right, he didn't have 10. He had to do 5. But I will say this. It is awesome. Like, you know, I sit down with Christian Campbell, and I appreciate you guys. We were talking on the phone. I said, from your perspective, as you're buried in snow, sometimes I lose perspective because I'm not buried in snow. I'm running around. I said, who is the player that maybe is the most interesting? And you guys immediately said Christian Campbell, right? Correct?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
All spring.
So, because I am a man of the people, and we are – the Baseballs and Boring brand is all about helping the baseball fan – I sat down with Christian Campbell for about 25 minutes, which was really, really good. Like, he's a quiet kid, but once you sit down with him, you just get him going. You start talking about stuff. There's a lot we can get into with that in terms of really – I was taken aback by him looking back at last year, how chaotic it was, including having to go home every night and talk about a contract extension. And as he said, I didn't even know you could get a contract extension, which is awesome. He's a guy who, you know, when you hear that, and I think that Brian mentioned this, is, you know, his evolution. Not only is he bigger, but lowering his hands, and he explained why he lowered his hands and to get the ball in the air. And sure enough, he's played in 2 games, and I think every ball that he's put in play has been in the air. So you're welcome. All right, let's look at the lineup. Anthony, DH, Story, shortstop, Duran, left field, Contreras, first base, Abreu, right field, Durbin, third base, Rafael, center field, Narvaez, catcher, our good friend Izzy Kiner-Falefa at second base, and Bello pitching. All right, I'm going to start with you, Gordo. Your thoughts?
Well, I would put Roman Anthony in the field if it's going to be the opening day lineup. He played the field yesterday, so I get why it's different here. But outside of that, Meyer at second base, it's kind of what we thought, right?
Yeah, kind of what we thought. The only thing I would change is I'd flip Contreras and Story.
Ooh. It feels like he's not going that route, but I agree. If I were making the lineup, Contreras would hit 2 and Story 4th.
And that's simply because I think Contreras is a better bat than Trevor Story, and I'd like the best bats to be lumped together. When you aren't 100% sure this lineup's going to be able to consistently score runs, I feel like that's the way to go.
Well, I would say this, and I'm surprised you guys didn't mention it, that you have Duran hitting 3rd, you have Abreu hitting 5th. Wouldn't you flip-flop there? No? Yes? No? Yes?
Can I tell you why I like Duran 3rd?
Okay, you may.
I'll tell you why. Because let's say the first 2 guys get out in the first inning, Duran gets up 3rd, he gets on base, he can run now. I like having speed guys in potential no-on, two-out spots.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. Different reasons. I just don't like the speed guys at the top of the order. For example, last year, Duran, when he would get on, he wasn't running because either Devers or Bregman was up in that 2-hole.
Right, as a leadoff.
He doesn't want to get thrown out with those guys up. So I kind of like Duran 3rd. Also, Bradfo, please allow me to create a storyline.
Ooh, wow.
Here we go.
What if very muscular Jaron Duran leans into the power more now that he's a full-time 3-hole hitter? Think about that.
That's the dumbest take of all time.
What? What's wrong with that?
Sammy, you know, you've been around baseball. You know baseball as well as everybody.
Absolutely.
Like, not anybody, but everybody. and you know that you don't do that. You don't say, hey, now I'm a three-hole hitter. Now I'm a four-hole hitter. I am going to try to hit more home runs.
Now, why not?
It's just because it's not you don't to do hit that. Home runs. It's a time-honored tradition of not doing it.
No. It's just a change in approach. He's not going to be swinging harder and changing his swing. Just be attack earlier.
You did nothing to save yourself. You don't change your approach. You don't change how you hit.
Yes, you do.
Hold on.
Based on where you are in the order?
You guys want his stats in each batting position last year from first and third?
No, I know. He was really good in third, right?
He was better. It's probably not as good as you think because you're thinking of that 1 month where he had the 1,000 OPS. But he hit .255, .742 OPS out of the leadoff spot in 108 games, and 25 games batting third, hit .266, .863 OPS. 4 home runs in the 3-hole, 9 home runs in the leadoff spot in 4 times.
I just love that, you know, in the first segment, we have a stupid take which we can pick apart.
No, hold on. I'm gonna make it sound even better. It's a great take.
We gotta wait.
Here comes the slug for each spot.
Because we get away, because we got Tommy Two Tones here ready to do a trend. 617-779-7937. Fortunately, because we don't have the technology, nobody has the technology to watch a hockey game, to listen to a hockey game, to follow a hockey game on the internet. They have to rely on this trend to find out what the score of the Team USA, Team Canada game is. And Tommy's going to come through right now. Here you go. Here's a trend.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The United States hockey team is taking on Canada for the gold medal in the 2026 Olympics. The score is currently tied up 1-1 in the third period. Matt Boldy scored the first goal for the Americans, and then Kale Maker hit the second goal for the Canadians to tie that game up 1-1. The Celtics are in action tonight from LA to take on the Lakers. Boston is looking for their fourth straight road win. Tip-off of that one is at 6:30. The Red Sox won their first spring training game yesterday by a final score of 7-2. They play their second one today against Toronto, and you can listen to that game right here on WEEI 93.7, the Shaw's and Star Market Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's. Proud to be local since 1860. First pitch for that one is at 1 o'clock. And some sad news out of the NFL yesterday. It was announced late last night that Vikings wide receiver Rondale Moore had passed away. Moore was only 25 years old. I'm Tom Christofili, and that's what's trending now on WEEI, WEEI.com.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.
All right, the suggestions are flying in. What we should call our baseballs and boring radio show producer. Tom, what's your name? They're flying in. I'm not even going to attempt. No. Listen, I got Monasterio right yesterday. I'm going to quit while I'm ahead. Okay?
Fair enough.
Correct? All right. So this is the Baseballs and Boring Show. I'm Rob Bradford, live from JetBlue Park. I am not going to mention the weather because the great Joe Castiglione told me once, never mention the weather unless you have to, make people feel bad. But the weather's really nice. I'm not going to lie to you. And it's not going to snow tomorrow. It's not going to snow the next day. It is going to dip down, fellas. Gordo and Sammy and Playtesi with us. It's going to dip down, I think, to 60 tomorrow. So thoughts and prayers.
Stig is right. I do feel bad.
Gordo's been glaring. Every time you mention the weather, he's been glaring into the microphone as if you're
Yeah. But, you know, the warming of the heart of the hockey game and the baseball and the boring show, it makes everything okay for these next few hours. And, by the way, what we have a 1-1 still? 1-1?
One
to the hockey game?
Oh, almost 2-1.
Do not even think about offering any play-by-play. We don't want any lawsuits. No, we don't want the express written consent. We don't want anything. We are just talking about what's in front of us, and what's in front of me right now is a batting cage and an empty field and the United States of America flag and the Canada flag flying wind's blowing out, so it should be an electric broadcast with Will Fleming and Joe Castiglione today. The big Connor Siebold return, pitching for the Blue Jays. Bayo getting the start for the Red Sox. It's all coming up baseball. It's all awesome, fellas. So I want to come back to what we were talking about before, because the lineup, big news of the day was that we think we have a semblance of an opening day lineup. Now, another part of this, guys, is that we can all agree that the one part is probably the one player who's probably not going to be in the opening day lineup is our good friend Iz, right? Izzy?
Izzy.
All right.
How many Red Sox, what percentage of Red Sox fans by September are going to call this man Izzy?
Four. Well, I mean, maybe sometimes I overstate the power of the baseballs and boring social media accounts, but as I said, we asked him, we had him on the podcast. We said, power rank how you want to be called. And he said, Iz or Izzy. He said, Isaiah. And then third, IKF, because I get a feeling he feels like IKF is just lazy for people. And then, of course, our good friend Chris Cotillo says, oh, they sent me down here. They paid all this money to find out this important information that Isaiah Kiner-Falefa wants to be called Izzy. And I had to that was 3 days late. They should ask for their money back, Mass Live. Right? Correct? Am I wrong?
Just a bit, yeah. They flew him out there.
I know. What are you doing?
There's only so many scoops to find. He found one, you know. He had to put it out there.
You think you found one.
Yeah, he thought he found one.
I'm going to check the Webster's definition of scoop. I don't think it's 3 days later after the original report. Anyway, my point is that I want to talk about Sammy's really, really unfortunate take that Jarren Duran is going to change everything about him because he's hitting third right now.
So, Bradford, we have actually the numbers. So this is going to be the second time I've had a take about Jarren Duran that I've been laughed at about and then proven right in the end. So, Gordo, will you read his slugging percentage by lineup spot?
In the leadoff spot, he slugged .418. In the third spot, he slugged .479.
So 51 point increase in the three hole. That's
this is where we're at right now.
Hey, come on, it's proof.
Can I make a plea to everybody listening, everybody following, everybody who is on the verge of buying baseballs and boring gear? Like everybody, I apologize.
For being wrong with your initial take.
No. It's okay. No. I apologize that you tune in, you rely on us for information and for entertainment, and it is what you got was. Somebody talking about how he was 51 points higher on his slugging percentage and moving spots in the batting order. I apologize.
That's a lot.
My overall point, Sammy.
Cha-ching.
What does that mean?
That was people buying baseballs and boring merch because I backed up it with numbers.
Really? The ideas are popping, so now we should make a T-shirt that says Jarren Duran with 50.1 points higher slugging percentage?
In the three hole.
I'm still trying to find a way to squeeze on Peyton Tolley's like third monkey on the arc, his reigning thing, onto a T-shirt. It's not easy. It's too many words.
You could do like an arc, like an image of an arc with two monkeys walking towards it and then a third one behind it in a Peyton Tolley jersey looking a little nervous.
Yeah, so there's a lot going on there. That's the problem.
Sammy, how many home runs is Jarren Duran going to hit out of the three hole this year? Career high is 21. He hit 16 last year. More power. How many is that going to be?
23.
All right, let's go. Put
two
that
home
on
run
the
increase.
23 bombs.
The overall point here, this is the overall point, which is, and I'm happy to walk up to Jarren Duran and ask him this, and I know what his answer would be. Are you planning on changing anything because you're hitting in the third spot? And his answer is no, because everyone says no, and anybody who does try to change things, they screw themselves up. This is a time-honored tradition. Every time Mookie Betts get moved around the order, we had the same thing. Oh, is Mookie going to change things because he's leading off? Remember when Andrew Benintendi started hitting leadoff?
Oh, he hated it.
He hated it, right?
Bradford, it's not so much Duran changing things. It's that you see different pitches in the three-hole compared to leading off. You have guys on base more often, so I would argue you'd see better pitches to hit because they don't want to walk you away. You got guys on base.
It's also a different mindset too. At home games, I think Duran has even talked about this. When the third out's made, you're in the field. He's all the way in left field. He's got to run all the way into the dugout, get his stuff, and get ready to hit so fast. And now he's hitting third.
Oh my goodness! Thank you. Right? Thank you. Now I have dumb takes from both of you.
I'm pretty sure he said that.
I don't care if he said it. That's like
our dumb takes are backed with facts and this quotes.
I don't think it's going to change the world or anything.
You know what I want to do? Jim Rice is out here eating breakfast, right? He's out here eating breakfast every day, observing what's going on. I would love to get Jim Rice's take on this about how he, if you said to Jim Rice, said, "Oh yeah, you know, Jim, did you feel like that your game plan changed because you had to run in from the outfield at a certain time?"
Well, he didn't get leadoff.
By the way, Jim Rice, and I said this to him the other day, he would be hitting leadoff right now.
Nowadays, like, yeah,
he would be the 1978 Jim Rice, who was the most crazy dominant hitter of that season. He would be hitting leadoff because that's what teams are doing. We're seeing that with Roman Anthony right now. And I guess that's the other. I'm going to pivot off of, I'm going to pivot off this controversial take that both of you have about Jarren Duran completely changing his game by hitting third. But when you look at Roman Anthony hitting leadoff, which was sort of announced yesterday, do you have a problem with this? This is the way that baseball's going. Let's get this out of the way. This is the way that baseball's going, correct?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Okay. All right. So do you have a problem with it?
No, I kind of like it's similar to what I said earlier. When you have a lineup that's kind of in the middle in terms of you're not 100% sure they're going to be efficient scoring runs, I want the best guys either lumped together at the top of the order so they're hitting as often as possible. And I would argue Roman Anthony is probably going to be the best bat on the team. Therefore, leadoff is a good spot for him. So I'm cool with it.
Okay. Gordo?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you had a more prototypical works the count, gets on base type of leadoff hitter, I would argue for Roman Anthony in the two hole. But if you hit Roman Anthony second, there's a lot of imperfect fits for the leadoff guy, especially potentially right-handed fits. So I'm also okay for this year's team, Roman hitting leadoff. In the future, I would maybe lean towards second, but for this team, I just every one of the best lineups I can come up with has him leadoff.
Okay. All right. So we're picking apart this lineup. Congratulations. Eddie, score the hockey game?
Going
Tommy?
Into overtime.
Oh, we are?
Yep.
Three on three. 3-on-3. Let's go. Just like us. We got to find three other people to go against because we have three people.
Is there a Blue Jays equivalent?
They don't really. There's some guy over here with hooking some radio. He seems like he could be by himself. It would be more of a 3-on-1 situation. So
we'll win.
Just bring him on. Why not?
Yeah. Or we could just have like Dylan Cease, Ross Atkins, and who else? Addison Barger. So there you go. We're taking on those guys. All right. Anyway, so we have that situation. We talked about Roman leading off, Duran hitting third. Isaac, our good friend Izzy, is playing second. And, you know, this is an example of, okay, it can be valuable to have a guy like this, much like the Blue Jays found out, having him around, that was good. But the second base thing to me, being here underneath the sun, yes, Gordo, it's sunny out in Florida. There's the sun and the information and the baseballs and everything else of trying to pick apart what is going to be the storylines, much like we had last year when you had Vaughn Grissom playing second over Christian Campbell at this time of year. Second base, Marcelo Meyer isn't playing in games yet. They're slow playing him. But I'm going to throw this out there, fellas. I'm going to throw it out there. I am keeping a firm eye on where this is going to land in the middle of March. Could we have the battle between former first-round picks vying for that second base spot? And you know who I'm talking about, guys. Right?
Marcelo and
is IKF former first-round pick?
It could be. No. What's wrong with you?
Who's the other first-round pick?
Well, I could say this. The former first round, I'm not talking about Brendan Rodgers, who was a third overall pick.
Yes.
Okay? Two former first round picks vying to be the left-handed hitting second baseman for the Boston Red Sox.
Who's the other first round pick? Marcelo Meyer?
Yes.
Gordo looks dumbfounded right now.
Wrong with both of you?
You know, baseball draft positioning is very tough to remember.
Oh, I love. Are you kidding me? When Brendan Rodgers arrived here, the third overall pick, one spot behind Alex Bregman in the 2015 draft.
Other first round pick?
I'm looking on the 40 man. I'm looking at left handed hitting infielders.
This, I'm telling you, you get to the middle of March, there is a possibility we could be having a battle in camp for a second base between two former first-round picks for the Boston Red Sox.
If it's not Rogers, who are you talking? He hits left-handed, you said?
I can't believe it. Brian Abraham just sat down, and he's like, look, he's thinking like, oh, my, yo, hold on, don't talk. He's just sit there in a world of befuddlement that these two clowns. Do you know who I'm talking about? No. I'm saying this. Hold on. You get on the mic. Brian Abraham.
Did Tristan Casas learn second
base? Dream maker. Yeah. Can you talk? Can you hear me? Can you? No?
No, he didn't.
All right. Hold on. We're going to have to fix that during the break, so don't worry about it. All right. But two, all I'm saying, I'll say it one more time so you guys can get your head around this. Second base. Two former first-round picks of the Boston Red Sox.
I know who he's talking about.
Could be vying for the second base spot on this team.
That's Siegler, is it?
No.
I
can tell you. I can say
who is it?
Yeah, I can say. It's Mikey Romero.
Yes!
That's
what's
what
wrong
about.
With you guys?
I just think of him as a third baseman now. I don't think of him as a second baseman.
I was just looking at the 40.
Both of you.
I don't know. Shout out to Mikey Romero for putting himself on the map. I just haven't really thought of him as a potential opening day candidate.
Well, that's what I said. I put the headline, don't sleep on Mikey Romero.
I think my Duran tapping into more power is a better take than that.
You guys are totally underplaying this story. Like, this is, to me, Mikey Romero came out yesterday. He had a great spring last year in his limited time, including hitting a home run in Dunedin in his only start. He comes in. He's bigger and stronger, 50 pounds bigger and stronger, has a decent year last year, is a former first-round pick, goes out yesterday the first game. I know because I was on the call. Makes things go. First the two-run single, then scores another run. He is a guy who, as he said to me, and thanks for reading, fellas, he's a guy that said my goal is to make the team. Right?
Right.
You guys aren't reading.
I read it. I posted your link.
I read it
and posted it.
All I'm saying is there's a reason. He's a talented kid. And Marcelo's a talented kid, too. But I'm telling you, like, this is what I'm keeping my eye on. This is what it is. Look at this. The Blue Jays. I love this. This is a time-honored tradition, too. The Blue Jays just showed up, and their clubhouse is on the third base side. So they come out, and they think they're in the dugout on the third base side. And that's not the case. They have to walk all the way across. So nobody knows what there's going at JetBlue Park. But anyway. We could talk more about that, but we have Brian Abraham, who's going to be with us after the break, and he's a dream maker, and he's going to talk about how much Justin Gonzalez grew. He's going to talk he talked about Mike Romero, thanks for listening, last week. But we could talk about all the things that are really, really important in terms of setting the scene of these young players coming up, making dreams come true. Oh, my goodness. And, by the way, his family is half Canadian. His wife's from Canada. That would mean his son is half Canadian. So we can ask him who he's rooting for. Any update? Have they started the 3-on-3 yet?
Not yet.
Okay. All right. Well, keep us updated on that. All right. I know that I'm putting you guys' feet to the fire, but you know, I know you can handle it, right? Everyone good?
Yes. Let's go.
Oh, yeah.
Let's keep
Never
it going.
Been better.
What do we have? Two and a half more hours. Let's go.
I know. You came in feeling like you knew everything. And now you come away feeling like you knew nothing. I tear you down to build you back up. And we're going to keep on doing that with Brian Abraham, Dream Maker, Prime Director, right after this.
Hey, guys. This is Matt Norlander, co-host of the Eye on College Basketball podcast with Gary Parrish. We are part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, and College Hoops is turning toward what's going to be a phenomenal March. So be sure you are tuned into the show. We're going to be publishing at least 4 shows every week. Follow and listen to Ion College Basketball free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. March is coming.
All right, welcome back to the Baseball Isn't Boring Show. At BB Isn't Boring. At BB Isn't Boring. The Play Tessie guys are with us. Gordo, Sammy, at Play Tessie. I appreciate it. They are. Can we do that every Saturday, what you guys did? I know I said opening day. But you guys did such a good job. I like it. We called it BIB Notes. That was good, right? Correct? Like, yes. Kind of like Twib Notes, like Bib Notes?
We might need to workshop the name.
We could workshop the name, but yes, we could do that.
We'll be B-I-B.
Do you guys remember Twib Notes?
No, I don't know. What's Twib Notes?
Oh, my goodness.
This Week at Baseball.
What year did Twib Notes? I don't even know what that is. Twib Notes?
Brian Abraham, weigh in. Farm Director, Dreammaker. Like, you're part of the family. We don't have to talk solely about Justin Gonzalez. What do you remember Twib Notes? This Week in Baseball. So when we do, so these guys, every Saturday now, they're going to branch off into the great world of baseball. They talk about Bryce Harper, the Twins offseason, because they're experts at baseball. At least I thought they were before 10 a.m. today. So, but it was Bib Notes. Bib Notes was that's a good one, right?
Yeah,
Bib Notes.
Sounds great.
Right?
I'm in.
All right. So see, hear that?
What's Twib Notes?
This Week in Baseball.
We literally just did this. Like,
wait, who's
Brian just put it. Brian just put his head down, shook his head, and put his hand in his head. Like, he's like, what is wrong with you? All right. Anyway,
we
got Brian Abraham
here. I'm going to have to search
on
Wikipedia after this show.
Let's not waste time. All right, Dreammaker, Farm Director, there's a lot going on. What's going on today? But by the way, thoughts? You just told me Northeastern wasn't able to get home, their flight.
Yeah, there's a few people. A few people in the office.
Your family got home.
My family got home.
Okay.
I don't know if they're happy about that. But.
Wow. They got home in time to cheer for Canada.
Yeah, my son FaceTimed me this morning. I don't know who he's rooting for because he was born in Toronto. He's American.
Is he American or Canadian citizen?
He's a dual citizen.
Ooh, look at you getting that college discount at McGill.
Just in case. Just in case.
Yeah.
My wife she's an American citizen, but she's born and bred Toronto, Canadian. So she's definitely rooting for Canada.
Okay.
I'm rooting for the United States of America.
Okay. Hey, so we make it clear. So this game is a 3-on-3 going on now?
Someone was telling me that the rules are different in the gold medal game. There's a chance it's 5-on-5.
All right, whatever. Well, I was going off what Scott McLaughlin said on the radio.
It should be 5-on-5. Should be.
Okay, 5-on-5. When a goal is scored, can we play? If we already made this clear that Tommy the producer, Tommy Two-Tone, that if USA scores, we're going to play my Monasterio home run call. Which, other than Al Michaels, do you believe in miracles? Might have been the most impressive home run call. Brian, let me just set the scene for you, okay? You probably already know this. Never done play-by-play before.
Really?
Never. I've done thousands of these games. Never play-by-play. But Joe, Hall of Fame Joe, said, your time is now. You're much like Herb Brooks, your time is now.
Yeah, good comparison.
And thank you. So six innings rolls around. First batter. Andrew Monasterio goes deep. My instincts were so keen. I knew a ball was up in the air. Science and the Grapefruit League would suggest that if the ball's up in the air, it's going to go 20 yards farther. Sure enough, lands in the grassy berm. I did, default to put it on the board. I regret that. But so be it. Do you believe in miracles and the Andrew Monasterio home run call? Those two. But can we put up a poll which was more impressive? Hello?
Tom, we have the...
I have no social media access here.
You guys fall asleep back there? What's happening?
That's about my pay grade.
So, since we talked to you last week, from your world, Brian Abraham, Farm Director, Dreammaker, what is this past week been like for you? Now, I will say this. Let's get this out of the way. I walked the grounds with Brian Abraham. Right, guys? Which you guys, when you guys come down, you'll get that experience too. It is one of the most underplayed existences in the world of baseball. When the farm director walks the grounds past all the minor leaguers walking by him, and they're all fist pumping him or fist pounding him, and they're all like, hey, Ames, hey, hey. And every single one of them, by the time they passed, after Brian's like nice guy, very cordial, every single one of them think they're going to be moved up a level because he was nice to them. It was such a awesome dynamic. So congratulations on all your power is what I'm saying.
Really important to learn names this time of year. I really like
you know what we do. They all wear the t-shirts with the names in the back. Yes. So you say
very important.
And then you immediately pivot to see what their name is.
Very important.
One guy, before I get to sort of your lot in life and what's going on this week, one guy, because I saw him yesterday. I think Alex Speer wrote about him, Justin Gonzalez. What happened? Anything? Somebody just screamed about the hockey game. Anything?
No, something
nothing?
Almost happened. Okay. Yeah, I think it was close
right.
to this.
Okay. All right. Justin Gonzalez is, what did he measure out at?
6'6"?
No, he's taller than that now.
6'7"?
Okay.
6'7", 277.
Hey. Yeah, no, he just did the thing.
I got a 12-year-old. I'm cool.
Yeah. Justin Gonzalez is a behemoth, and he said, I think, in Alex's story, like, I want to be like Aaron Judge. Well, don't we all? But Aaron, you want to be like Aaron Judge. So for you, for his development, because he's only 19 years old,
yeah.
Talk to us about this guy who he's gonna show up probably in one of these Grapefruit League games, and we're going to like, whoa. So give me your perspective of him.
Yeah, he's a big boy, definitely hard to miss. You know, you asked about what has changed in my world. We've started some of our player plans, and we talk to our players about their goals for the goals they achieved over the offseason, their goals for the upcoming season. Justin was one of them. He hits the ball incredibly hard. He has really good plate discipline, plays a good defense. The biggest thing for him is he hits the ball hard, but oftentimes into the ground, which we all know is all right here and there, but the reality is to hit the ball in the air.
There's no signs here at the batting cages to hit the ball on the ground. No.
Yeah, you look at the Green Monster, you can't hit the ball over the monster on the ground. So that has been a significant focus for him. And just with the physicality, again, the plate discipline, you usually don't see someone with that ability to put the bat in the ball, swing at good pitches, and hit the ball as hard as he does with that size too often. So I think there's the sky's the limit in a lot of ways. Obviously, there's a lot to go, and there's a lot of room for development left. He's young. But he went to Salem very quick last year and went to a full-season club as soon as any player we've ever had.
And there's a deep fly ball, deep going way back, and it's onto the grassy berm. There's Monasterio. There's your home run for the Boston Red Sox. Put
USA
it on the board.
Gold.
There.
Put it on the board. 46 years. I'm here for it. I'm on the air.
Not only was that, but you get to experience. This is the only place that celebrated the gold medal for Team USA with the Andrew Monasterio home run call.
Playing the Blue Jays, sorry, my wife Natalie, Karen's family, sorry.
All these Blue Jays, like coaches and stuff, are in the field. They look forlorn.
There's tears.
It's been tough for Canada last 5 or 6 months.
My family is not too happy. No. I'm sure they'll blame it on injuries, but USA just, the grit, the camaraderie, we're back.
Oh, look at, like, people in the stands are taunting these poor. Oh, no, actually. These guys are celebrating.
America's brand has never been hotter, Rob.
Thank you. Hold on. Let me write that down. There you go. The good news is that if you're from Canada and you are feeling a little low about yourself, you can immediately go to the Baseball Isn't Boring store, bbisn'tboring.com, and get the widely popular Baseball Isn't Boring
A. The Baseball Isn't Boring.
I'm sure the bars are open too, so if you're also unhappy.
You just made so many people feel better. You fixed it.
It's the Baseball Isn't Boring in a maple leaf, and then A?
They don't even care about the hockey game anymore.
My son wants one.
I'm going to tweet that out right now, by the way. That was your hockey minute. Congratulations
Amazing.
To Team USA.
Amazing.
The Abraham family torn, but
they'll get over it.
You want to break off, and I don't want to take you away from your family.
They're gone.
But if they need to be consoled or something,
just send them to the BIP store.
My wife does not want to.
Your
talk
son,
to me.
I love your son. I've got to know your son a little bit, and your son is totally like he was going whichever team won. He was talking trash for whichever
he
team
he probably
won.
Had an Austin Matthews Leafs jersey on. So play both sides.
All right. Well, okay. So. Let's get back to what's what. That was an excellent breakdown of the 6'8" outfielder, correct?
Yeah. He continues to get taller.
He might be 6'10" by now.
There's actually a picture floating around somewhere of me shaking his hand last year when we gave our DSL team their championship rings, and he's two times the size of me.
This is Justin Gonzalez, of course, which is fascinating because he won't get measured. Well, he got measured for ABS, right?
I believe Alex's measurements were accurate because he asked me. Pretty close.
This is how we get information. he asked you?
He wants to make sure it's consistent.
Did you look it up or you just said?
I asked.
Oh, you did?
I confirmed.
Okay, all right, okay. So he went from 6'6 to 6'6.
6'4 to 6'6.
Okay.
He went from 210 to 277.
He gained 67 pounds.
How is that possible?
Well, that is not possible. I do think sometimes the websites are not as updated as maybe some of our internal information is. So I think at times there's probably a little bit of a delay in reporting. But he did not gain 67 pounds this offseason.
Can you imagine?
That would have been such a impressive fun narrative.
Gordo, can you aggregate that? Brian Abraham says that this is inaccurate information.
Upon further review.
Yes. Well, we want to get things right. And much like, you know, I love the past that they measure these ABS guys or guide for ABS. Caleb Durbin told me the great story. Are you tall? You're taller than Caleb Durbin, right? Correct?
I don't know if I'm taller, but we are close. I really appreciated that he said that the strike zone is small for even normal sized people. Hit home. That hit home for me.
He measured at 5'6.5", I believe. 5'6.5". I don't know what other story said. I talked to him. I'm going by what I said. He also said when he was in college, which this should hit home, he said they put him at 5'8". I said, well, how's that happen? Is it because you write it down?
Yeah.
You were definitely at Holy Cross. You wrote down like 5'10".
I think my license says 5'8", but I'm 5'7".
Okay. All right. Well, there you go. Guys, I want your questions. Can you stay around for another segment?
Sure.
All right. Because
the U.S. one, I'm here all day.
Yeah. I mean, the adrenaline's coursing through everybody's veins. But still, the flags are flying equally as high. We are partners in this world. United States flag, Canada flag at JetBlue Park, flying straight out. And by the way, Blue Jays players, none of them who I know, are just milling about. Nobody makes this trip down from 3 hours from Dunedin.
It's a long one.
It's a long one. Coaching staff and Connor Siebold. That's it. But Gordo, Sammy, I want you to get your questions ready for Brian. This is the Baseball Isn't Boring Show. Way on in a little bit later, 617-779-7937. We're going to be with you till 1 o'clock, all the way up to the Red Sox-Blue Jays game. Will Fleming, Joe Castiglione on the call. What a great day. Congratulations to Team USA. Congratulations to everybody soaking in the great game of baseball through this awesome show. All right, we'll be right back with Gordo and Sammy's grilling Brian Abraham with a bunch of questions.
For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and, in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.